The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. It is page 233 of the New Testament. I will read the words. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arm around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Amen. The chapter 20 of the Acts, which we have been reflecting on for 3 weeks, ends with the verse 6. But we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. As we looked at the last time, Paul and Luke got on the ship at Neapolis, the port of Philippi, and went to Troas after the festival of unleavened bread. And there they reunited with the representatives of different regional churches who had donation offerings to help the believers in Jerusalem who were suffering from famine. And Paul stayed at Troas for 7 days. What we should notice from today's text is that it took 5 days for Paul's party to cross the Aegean Sea by ship and arrive at Troas. So it means that when Paul got on the ship at Neapolis and finally arrived at Troas, it took him 5 days. And normally this journey would have taken 2 days by ship. According to chapter 16, verse 11 of the Acts, he tells us that when Paul's party went to Macedonia for the first time during his second mission trip, it only took 2 days for them to cross the sea. But we see in today's text that it took them 5 days to return to Troas when it should have taken them only 2 days. And this tells us that they ran into a very severe storm on their way. At the time when people heard that a 2 days journey by ship took 5 days to make, they understood that it meant that there was a bad storm on the way. It was common for a ship, which did not have automatic power of movement back then, to either capsize or be lost for several days when they ran into a bad storm. So there was no need for Luke to give further explanations as to why the journey took them 5 days. The fact that the ship that Paul took 5 days to cross the Aegean Sea, which should have taken only 2 days, meant that the ship was overtaken by a storm, lost its power to go forward, and was lost at sea for 3 days. It probably was really hard on the people who were on board. And Paul, who was already old by the standard of average lifespan back then, probably suffered more than others. So as a result of this, Paul stayed in Troas for 7 days. Although he was on his way to Antioch of Syria. He probably did that in order to preach the gospel at Troas, which he didn't get to do, before, during his second and third mission trip, because only stopped by to get on a ship back then. And to physically recover from the storm. But at Troas, an unexpected miracle of life took place. The hardship that Paul had to endure because of the severe storm on the sea was not meaningless or vain. The paragraph that tells us about this miracle in today's text starts this way. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. The day before Paul's departure, in other words, the last day of Paul's 7 days stay at Troas, was Sunday. The breaking bread signifies a worship service in which the early Christians shared communion. And the worship service was held not on the Sabbath, according to the tradition of the Jews, but on Sunday. So he worshiped together with the brothers and sisters of Troas who accepted the gospel from him on that Sunday. At the time, among the Christians who accepted the gospel were many lower class people like slaves and laborers. They did not have a day off during the whole year. So Paul got together with them in the evening when the day's work was done and held a Sunday service. Then he was going to leave Troas the next day. So it would be the last service that he would worship together with the brothers and sisters of Troas. And Paul's teaching went on until the middle of the night. The Greek noun, which has been translated as the word, is logos, which signifies the Lord's words, and the Greek noun mesonoukiton, which has been translated as the middle of the night, means midnight. So the Paul's teaching had gone until midnight. And it was not the case that Paul preached and talked on by himself. The Greek word dialegomai, which has been translated as expound, actually has the meaning of discussed. The brothers and sisters of Troas who encountered the gospel for the first time must have had so many questions to ask Paul, their spiritual teacher, who was to leave the next day. And Paul also must have so many words of the Lord that he would have wanted to leave with the brothers and sisters of Troas as he was having this last service. And so Paul's teachings and the questions and answer sessions with them naturally went on until midnight. This is verse 8. There are many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. The place where brothers and sisters of Troas worshiped together was an upper room of somebody's home. The Greek word hyperoon, which means the very top part of a house. Based on the structure of a house back then, it was a third floor or an upper room. Now, doesn't the hot air travel upwards? And the worship where the brothers and sisters were faith were gathered and sitting here and there continued with many more lamps lit than usual until midnight. And so we can easily guess how warm the room must have been. This is from verse 9. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Among the people who had gathered at that upper room, there was a young man named Eutychus. At the time, Eutychus was a common name for a slave. So we could guess that he might have been a slave. He was seated at the window of the upper room. His fatigue was probably extreme after working the whole day. In order not to nod off, he sat on the windowsill where the fresh air came in, but Eutychus could not fight off sleep that overcame him, as he was really tired. And as Paul's sermon went on, and questions and answers also went on as late as midnight, Eutychus' body lost tension as he fell into a deep sleep, and he fell three stories to the ground. People hurriedly ran down, but he was already dead. The Greek adjective nekros has its origin in the word nekros, which means a dead body. Eutychus, who had fallen, had already changed into a dead body. This is from verse 10. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arm around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." The Paul also ran down to where Eutychus had fallen. He bent over his body and threw his arm around it. And towards people who were lamenting over his sudden death, he sternly declared, "Do not be alarmed, he is alive." There are people who argue over this text and say that Eutychus, who fell three stories, was actually not dead, but just appeared dead and was actually still had a life in him. But the person who recorded that Eutychus was dead in verse 9 was not somebody like Matthew or John, who used to be a tax collector or a fisherman. The person who recorded the book of Luke and the Acts was Luke, who happened to be a doctor. And Luke was present at the very place where Eutychus had fallen and died. When Eutychus fell to the ground while he was sitting on the window and nodded off, Luke, who was a doctor, would have verified his condition and would have declared his death in confirming that his heart wasn't beating anymore. Therefore, the life that Paul declared as was being in Eutychus was not a life that is in a body. Paul had realized that the Lord was going to pour his life In Utaika, so a slave who had tried to listen to the Lord's words while fighting sleep, sitting on the windowsill after an exhausting day of labor, and renew him. The life that Paul mentioned was a life that is in the Lord, which existed beyond the physical death of Eutychus. And so Paul told the people who were grieving not to be alarmed because he is alive. And Eutychus really did come to life again. Paul did not revive him, but the life that is in the Lord through Paul came up on Eutychus. This is from verse 11. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking daylight, he left. The brothers and sisters of Troas went up to the third floor upper room. And share the grace of the Lord throughout the night. And when the next day dawned, Paul's party departed Troas as planned. Let's take a look at verse 12. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Even after Paul's party left, the people of Troas were greatly comforted and encouraged through Eutychus, whom the Lord brought back to life. Every time people looked at him, they could confirm the power of life that was in the Lord. Don't you think that would have been the case? When people who were burdened and tired by life ran into Eutychus, the life that is in the Lord surely would have also worked in their hearts. The Paul's party stayed at Troas for 7 days. And the work of life, the bringing back of life of Eutychus, who had fallen three stories, occurred on the very last day of their stay. In other words, on that Sunday. So if Paul had stayed not 7 days, but 6 days or 5 days, there wouldn't have been the service that was held on Sunday evening. Eutychus would not have fallen to his death, and there wouldn't have been the Lord's work of bringing him back to life. All these things happened in Troas because Paul stayed at Troas for 7 days. And the reason that Paul, who was on his way back to Antioch of Syria, stayed in Troas for 7 days is because he had to endure 3 days of being lost at sea during his 5 days journey while he crossed the Aegean Sea. Therefore, the hardship that he endured because of the storm was not in vain. Because of that hardship, he stayed at Troas for 7 days. And because of this, the work of life in which the Lord brought Eutychus back to life happened, and people of Troas were thereafter greatly comforted each time they saw Eutychus. In hindsight, the way of hardship that was marked by a severe storm that Paul encountered was not a way of suffering or hardship, but a truly unfathomable way of life, which was prepared to see the fruit of life at Troas that no one could have expected. Although Paul had entered the end of his life, at which he faced the physical extinction, he was definitely not somebody who was sad. Paul was being used by the Lord as a pathway to bring life to others. In him, the eternal life that transcended bodily life was already overflowing. Therefore, the drama of life in which somebody received life in Christ through his hardship continued until the day he died. And it even continues to today through his epistles. These days, if you take a direct flight from Yangjong Airport, you can get to the Western United States in 11 hours, to the Eastern United States in 14 hours, and to Europe in 12 hours. But these are long hours, and they're difficult to withstand, and the body suffers aches for a while, even after getting off the plane. But when there were no direct flights, it took much longer. The first time that I went on an overseas trip was in 1972, 43 years ago. To get to the Western United States, you began from the Gimpo Airport, go through Haneda Airport of Japan, and Honolulu Airport in Hawaii. And the trip took about 20 hours in total. To get to the eastern part of the United States, it took more than a full day after leaving from Gimpo Airport. If you wanted to get to Europe, you had to go through Haneda Airport and go through Alaska. It needed more than 20 hours to complete the travel. And now that the direct flights are available, when I look back, I shudder to think how I could possibly have traveled on plane for such a long trip. But when compared to when no planes were available, of course, even that was a luxury. Now, Rosetta Sherwood Hall, who is buried at Yangwajin, dedicated herself as a medical missionary who worked 43 years in Korea from 1890 to 1910. Rosetta played a key role in establishing Bogu Women's Institute, which was the first hospital for women, Pyongyang Gior Hospital, Gwangi Clinic at Pyongyang, which was a clinic for women, and Dongdaemun Ladies Hospital, and who loved women of Korea her whole life. But Rosetta, who lived in the eastern part of the United States, did not get to Korea within 14 hours or even after a full day's travel, like it was 40 years ago. When Rosetta, then 25 years old, said goodbye to her parents, left Liberty, New York State, got on a train from New York to San Francisco, and got on a ship from there to travel to Honolulu, Yokohama, and Busan, Jeonmyo, and at last at Hanyang, today's Seoul. It was October 14th when she arrived. This was exactly 54 days after she had left home. If you think about it, a journey that takes 54 days to make, including the time spent at ports to recover from the journey, it's an awfully long trip. It couldn't have been easy to complete a journey over 5,000 kilometers on a train to go from New York to San Francisco. The Pacific Ocean probably wasn't calm all the time while she made the journey from San Francisco to Tamarpo, over 10,000 kilometers of distance. And how uncomfortable the narrow cabin must have been. I've said this before, but I had gone on a cruise during my sabbatical in 2011 for 8 nights and 9 days. It was just for leisure, but it was really hard to be cooped up in a narrow cabin without a window for 9 days. But how could that be compared to the hardship Rosetta put up with? To cross the Pacific Ocean in 54 days of journey from New York 125 years ago. When Rosetta got to Seoul after 54 days, she unpacked her bags at Pogo Women's Institute, a women's hospital where she would be working. Without resting, she started treating the health of Korean women starting from the very next day. Now, 2 years later, Rosetta married a Canadian medical missionary, William James Hall, and had a son, Sherwood. But within 2 years of her marriage, her husband died of typhus fever, which he contracted on the job, and was buried here at Yeongwajin. This was when Rosetta was 29 years old, and at the time she was 7 months pregnant. The following year, she gave birth to a daughter, Edith. But she also died of dysentery when she was 3 and was buried next to her father. Rosetta lost both her beloved husband and a young daughter at a young age in a foreign country. But her love for women of Korea did not cease. Until she retired at the age of 68 in 1933, she gave her whole life for women of Korea. She didn't do this just to treat physical disease of Korean women. As somebody who was called by the Lord, she did it to serve as a true pathway of life for Korean women who are suffering from poverty and ignorance. Because that life was in Rosetta, she was able to overcome the death of her husband and her daughter with the power of that life. How many Korean women must have received the salvation of eternal life because of Rosetta, like Eutychus of today's text? The members of the family of the missionary Rosetta Hall gifted Yeongwajin Institute, which our church established, with Rosetta's diaries and articles. Last Thursday, on September 17th, a commemoration of the publication of the first book of Rosetta's diaries was held in the morning. In the afternoon, there was the opening of the special exhibit at Yeongwajin Hall, where Rosetta's diaries were open for public viewing. This was all due to the special providence of the Lord. the Lord did not forget the life of Rosetta, which was wholly spent to pour the Lord's life into Korean women. He brought forth her life under the spotlight of history so that her life would forever be remembered in Korea, a land she loved. Rosetta is not only alive in the kingdom of God. Although her body may have gone, her faith and her spirit is eternally alive here at Yongha-jin. Therefore, the hardship that she suffered during the 54 days of her journey were not hardships without meaning. That road of hardship was an unfathomable way of life, which could not be compared to anything else on this earth. She lost her beloved husband at the young age of 29, and also lost the daughter she gave birth without her husband in 3 years, but her life was definitely not a life of tragedy. This is because she came to be the witness of life that is forever living in God's kingdom and here on earth. Just like Apostle Paul of today's text, transcending time and space. A life of man which is lived in the cycle of birth, aging, disease, and death cannot be but a continuum of hardships and sorrows if their life becomes the aim. No matter how much you accumulate, no matter how high your position is, ultimately one is extinguished to become a handful of earth. What can be more empty and vain than working hard and to sweat just to turn into a handful of earth at the end? Even a nameless stone lasts for ages. But if a man who is supposed to be the master of all things were to exist only to be extinguished one day, there would be no existence that would be sadder than that. Therefore, we must live for the true life that is in the Lord and live beyond our life. In other words, the bodily life that will one day be extinguished in emptiness. In the life that is in the Lord, our hardships and our sorrows will be transformed into a totally mysterious work of life. Within the life of the Lord, all of us can turn into Paul and Rosetta. We cannot overcome the limits of extinction with the life that is in us. But the life that is in the Lord is the eternal life that broke death apart, the power that created the heavens and the earth. Let us pray. Without the Lord, even if I enjoy the most glorious of meals, it would only amount to a vain effort towards an extinction. No matter how many things I possess, I am a sorrowful existence without that would disappear without a trace one day. Through your words, we understand and feel this reality and bow our heads before the Lord. Thank you that even before I knew the Lord came to be present in me in life. And I have been embraced by the Lord and the words of life. Even if life in my body stops, I will never forget that the life of the Lord will never leave me. Allow all of us then to live only in that life and for that life. May all of our labor and hardships that we endure on this earth continue into a work of life for somebody else. Through us, may the Eutychus of this land come alive again. And may many come to live in the great comfort and encouragement through them. Allow us no longer to be the sorrowful beings destined for extinction, but become Paul and Rosetta who live in the kingdom of God and also on this earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.